Shalom to the bride of Christ, and God bless you wherever you are watching us from. This is the Bride TV, the channel with the present truth and the end time message. We're happy to have you with us. It's question and answer time with Pastor Moses Alu, and it's going to be great. You can reach us via WhatsApp or text messages on the number on the screen right now. You ask your questions and God's servant, the overseer of the Bride Assembly Lagos Church, will be answering you live. So please, it's for us and you, we and you together. We want you to ask your questions and it's here to answer you. For every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. So please, be a part of this program. It's here for you to answer your questions. And the Holy Spirit is going to help him. And your host for this program, as usual, is our beloved Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Thank you, Shalom. And welcome to Question and Answers, a program put together to remove confusion.
Amen.
From what Christianity has turned out to be. The lines will be open, and I am not claiming that I know everything, but the much I know, I will share it with you. Amen. Feel free to ask me any scriptural question, and I believe for every Bible question, there's a Bible answer. We expect questions that will make us understand God's agenda for salvation better, and also understand the Christian faith better, and also understand how, give us a good understanding of our spiritual bearing. So the lines are open and feel free and call us within the time we have to be with you. God bless you. Welcome once again to Question and Answer Time on the Bride Television Live.
Okay, our pastor is ready and we hope your questions are also ready. The first question with me is from Sister Clara from Abuja.
Yes,
and she's asking based on what you taught yesterday. She said, you know, sex for procreation was what you said. Okay. And now if couples have had the number of children they want to have. Okay. Shalom, sir. Concerning the sermon of yesterday, that the original purpose for sex was for procreation and not for pleasure. What then happens when couples have had the number of children they want? Does it mean that any sex after that is for pleasure? And will God be happy with such? Then she gives a reason. Because anytime I meet with my husband, I always notice a drop in my relationship with God. And it takes me days to feel the presence of God around me again. And because of that, I distance myself from him whenever I want to spend time with God. Sister Clara from Abuja is asking you, sir.
There are two things here from her question.
Yes, sir.
The first one, let me try to answer that. The presence of God. We don't feel the presence of God, but we believe the presence of God. Now, when you say you feel the presence of God, Satan will soon use that and disturb your walk with God.
Wow.
We don't feel, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. And you accept salvation by faith. What did God tell you, Sister Clara? He came and held you and said, now you are my daughter.
Now you are saved.
Now you are saved. You accepted it by faith.
Amen.
You believe it by faith. Now, the only thing you check whether you are right with God is your daily walk. And when you know you are drifting from God's expectation, and all of us know that, then you know something is wrong. When you begin to do things contrary, it affects your peace. That is when you know something is wrong with you, because your peace will be disturbed. It is your peace that will be disturbed, not a feeling around you that is disturbed.
No.
Now, so I hope we shall stop using that terminology. I don't feel his presence anymore. No. He dwells in us. He lives in us.
Amen.
He's a spirit.
Amen.
Now, the second part is, yes, I taught in my teaching, but my understanding of what happened
in Eden,
that the purpose why God gave the reproductive system, and the reproductive system includes the sexual organs.
Yes, sir.
It is to fulfill the commission of being fruitful and multiplying.
Amen.
So that is the main reason why God created it. Not, it was not meant for pleasure, but to enable us to enable it to be attractive so that it will push you to keep doing it and then have
be very fruitful.
So that you'll be actually very fruitful. He makes sex also pleasurable. But the main purpose is not
pleasure.
For pleasure. But in the course of making it pleasurable, the woman will be pregnant because you deposit seed there. And then the woman will be pregnant and you see fulfill his purpose. And so, that a man and a woman has sex for pleasure, married men and women, they have sex for pleasure. No, they are entitled to it, whatever they do with their sexual organs. You know, it's between them, it is permitted in law. It is meant for only married couples.
Okay.
And so, Apostle Paul is, you know, letting people like Sister Clara,
Sister Clara from Abuja. Yes, sir.
You know, please, this is addressing her situation in 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Okay.
And verse 3.
1 Corinthians chapter
4
7.
4 and 5. Yes.
Verse 3, 4 and 5. Yes. Okay. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence.
Due benevolence.
And likewise also the wife unto the husband.
This, what Apostle Paul is talking to here is, you know, each of you render to each other whatever the man wants from you. He's talking about sex. The next verse will confirm it.
The wife hath not power of her own body.
Her own body.
But the husband.
Yes.
And likewise also, the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife.
So that is, any time the man wants it, sister, you have to give him. And any time the husband needs it, the sister, you have to give. Any time the woman too wants it, brother, you have to give her. Anytime.
Wow.
Anytime is anytime. Go ahead.
Defraud ye not one the other.
That is, don't deprive. Don't deprive that.
Except to be with consent for a time.
That is, you will now have a meeting. I want for so reason. And when you say consent here, it can be for any reason at all. Any reason at all that both of you will understand. It's not only fasting. It can be for any reason at all. Go ahead.
That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer.
Yes, that is included. But I am saying here that the consent there, it can go beyond fasting and prayer.
Okay.
I mean, the woman is in pains. You should understand. You should understand. She's in pains.
Wow.
Or there is an infection. Or the man is just coming back from work and he's weak. Because it's the man that does the work. So he is weak. And then you should be able to understand when he says, please, just allow me rest for 1 day, 2 days.
Okay. And come together again.
And also, so it includes fasting and prayer.
Okay.
You want to withdraw from anything pleasurable.
Okay.
You know, that does not make sex sin. But that it is... Fasting is depriving yourself of anything pleasurable to the flesh.
Wow.
There's nothing spiritual about sex. Therefore, it is for pleasure. And including food. Eating food is not sin. But you fast for spiritual purpose. So you should be able to understand. Yes.
And come together again. That Satan tempts you not for your incontinency.
Yes, if not. The sexual drive may cause you to go and fornicate somewhere else outside of the lawful sex act.
Okay. So I think Sister Clara from Abuja, I think you are cleared with this answer of our pastor. But if you have further questions, you can always reach him again. And I know he will gladly answer you. So questions are coming in from all over the world. Our viewers are asking their questions, sending their questions. We are still waiting for yours. And I have one with me right about now. Good evening, sir, and shalom. Please, sir, you will never be forgotten because of what you are doing in Christendom. Amen. I say amen to that.
Amen.
I want to know the significance of Jesus Christ falling 3 times on his way to be crucified. Brother, one for Baba Michael from Lagos. I want to know the significance of Jesus Christ falling 3 times on his way to be crucified.
Well, maybe you are a student of numerology.
Okay.
Knowing that everything about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was fulfilling scriptures, But I want you to note that falling down three times by Jesus Christ was not prophesied.
Amen.
So we will not say he was fulfilling any scripture.
Okay.
There was nothing that said he fell down three times. But any spiritual person can know that what three signifies. Because by the time three is God's number for perfection. Perfection is three. And he perfected our salvation, our redemption in the office, three offices of the Father,
Son, and
of the
Son,
and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And there are three works of grace.
Amen.
Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And on his way to the cross on Calvary, he fell. I mean, while he was taking his cross, going there, you know, to hang. Hanging on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." Work of salvation, redemption is finished. And we know that God's finished work of redemption is the third work of grace.
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Where he said, "Grieve not the Holy Ghost," Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "whereby ye are sealed until
the day of redemption.
So,
Amen.
It depends on how you look at it to make you understand better what happened to Jesus.
Yeah, but he didn't even give a scripture for that.
Yeah, there's no scripture for that. That's why I say there's no scripture that he was fulfilling. But we have types to just using numerology to know that, three means this, and he fell down three times before going to the cross. It could be speaking of something spiritual.
Okay. More wisdom, sir. More grace. Okay. More questions are coming in, and we're still waiting for you, our viewer, to send your question. Pastor Moses is here with his Bible. And let me use this advantage to also ask more questions. I'm happy, sir, that you've cleared the issue of sex. That is not just married people can go on with it, because it's an issue today among holiness believers, you know, where a woman will deprive herself. Deprive her husband, rather, in this case, and say, no, I'm waiting on the Lord. I don't want to be less holy. It's causing a lot of issues in marriages. So a woman should not, out of spirituality, say she's not going to.
No. Our Apostle Paul advised against it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have another question from Cameroon. Sister Sidoni from Cameroon. I hope I pronounced that name well. Sister Sidoni from Cameroon. Shalom, sir. Is there any connection between Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 to 13, and Daniel chapter 8, verse 14? As far as the day of the Lord is concerned, any connection between Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 to 13? Yes, verse 11 to 13.
Chapter 12, verse 11 to 13. Maybe we'll read it.
Okay. Daniel 12, 11 to 13. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So we have 2 days here, 1,290 days, and then 1,335 days.
So we say, is there
between Daniel 8? Let's see the question again.
Daniel 8, verse
14.
And Daniel 8,
verse 14.
Verse 14. What does it say?
And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
No, there's no connection.
Are these prophecies speaking of the same event or different events?
They are different events.
Okay.
The little horn that is prophesied here in Daniel chapter 8 is Antiochus Epiphany.
Antiochus Epiphany.
And Antiochus, that Syrian...
Yes, king.
King.
Yes, sir.
That very wicked, very sharp, but it was also a type of...
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist that was to come.
Amen.
So there are two different, and this is history, and it has come and gone.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with the day of the Lord. That's the question.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Then that of Daniel 12 is about the day of the Lord.
Yeah, that of Daniel 12 is about the day of the Lord. Okay. When Christ will be coming to take over the earth.
So Sister Sidonie from Cameroon, the pastor has answered your questions. Yes. Thanks for joining us, and we expect more questions from you. So Revelation 2:10 has been fulfilled. Daniel 12 verse 11 to 13 has no connection with Daniel 8:14.
Yes.
God bless you. Thanks for participating in the program. It's question and answer time. Another question coming from Ghana. Brother or sister Prosper from Ghana. You did not indicate your sex, okay? Your gender rather. Brother or sister Prosper from Ghana. Shalom, Pastor Moses. I'm in Ghana. Sir, please, is it good for believers to engage in family planning concerning childbirth? Should in case they don't want to have children anymore. Second question. Please, is it good for money to be put on altars in church? Please, sir, I want to know. Okay, I'm sure the first question is based on what you taught yesterday. This issue about...
Yeah, when we come to family planning, it is still something between the man and the woman.
Okay.
There must be a reason for it. It's not normal to just say we don't want children again. There must be a reason why you don't want children again. It is that reason that will be acceptable or not acceptable before God that makes it sin or no sin.
Okay.
You can't just sit down and say, I don't want a child, when God says you should multiply.
Wow.
So there must be a reason, either for medical condition or realistically for economic condition. You don't want to bring forth children that you know you cannot take care of
them. That's true.
You know, so, but it must be a reason that God takes care of. So, yeah, family planning is good.
Now, this is a hard saying. Okay. Second question.
You can play. When you say altar, that is where the preacher stands to preach, because it's actually a podium, but a place that is also dedicated for prayers.
Mm.
And it's all about an action of faith. There is nowhere written in the Bible that offering has to be placed on. You know,
okay.
So it is about faith. Mm. You know, it's about faith. If not, you are placing it not on the altar. You are giving it as unto the Lord.
Okay.
You know, if not, what of those who don't have access to the altar? They are watching us online, and yet with their phone they transfer money with a word of prayer, and then they send it to any ministry, to this ministry.
Mm.
From time to time they do that,
okay.
And God accepts it.
Mm.
So it is an action of faith. It's an offering you are given.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Pastor Moses. And thank you, Brother Prosper, I guess, from Ghana. Another question. Okay. And Pastor Paul from Imo State. Okay. Some use coconuts for Holy Communion. Some any bread and water, etc. My question is it the edible use in the communion that matters, or the purpose for it? And the condition by which one partake of it. Wow.
You know, this is why we make reference always to what Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about another gospel, another spirit, always another substitute. Jesus. People are always wanting to substitute, you know, what God has given us.
Amen.
The Passover is an ordinance. I mean, the communion is an ordinance that connects us, makes us to remember the body and blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, whatever you use, there must be something about it that speaks of the body and the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It must be unleavened bread. That is what the Bible tells us.
Amen.
Bread without yeast, because yeast, there is a type of sin.
Hallelujah.
And Christ, in him, sin was not found.
Amen.
The wine there, we use the red color because the color of blood.
Amen.
But it must also contain some little bit of alcohol.
Amen.
Which is the preservative power. It is the preservative for that wine.
Amen.
Speaking of the Holy Ghost, that preserves us, seals us.
Amen.
Until the day of redemption.
Hallelujah.
Anything outside of unleavened bread and alcoholic red wine is another gospel.
Wow.
Is another communion, not the communion instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the scriptures. Thank you.
So someone may want to ask about unleavened biscuit also, like, you know, unsweetened crackers.
Well, I only know of bread.
Okay.
That is what is written. It's unleavened bread.
Okay.
On that day, he break bread. Didn't break biscuit.
Okay. So let's stay with the Bible.
Let's stay with the Bible.
Okay. I think that is answered. Thank you very much, Pastor Paul from Imo State. Unleavened bread and a wine with little percent of alcohol.
Yes.
God bless you. Another question coming in. Shalom, sir. I'm Sister Felicia from Cameroon. We have so many online members. Thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity to have our eyes of understanding opened more and more. I wish to know if it is scriptural for a sister to have a child out of wedlock. Afterwards, she get married and still wed in church with veil on.
We have to get to know the meaning of the veil. Actually, this is an Eastern tradition.
Amen.
This wedding with the kind of thing we do is an Eastern tradition. When I say East, that is the Middle East.
Mm.
Israel and her sister nations.
Amen.
It's not a law.
Okay.
There is no law that says before a man and a woman come to exchange vow, what we call wedding, that you must wear a white cloth. You must
put on a veil.
The woman, the man has to wear some suit. And then there has to be chief bridesmaid and all the
suits.
And then the men in suit. And then the little bride and the little this and all that.
Mm.
They are all Eastern culture.
Okay.
There is nothing in the scripture
that
gives such a commandment.
Mm.
So whether you do it or you don't do it, you know, the important thing there is we come to exchange our vows before the servant of God, the pastor, and you are pronounced husband and wife in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But now, if you have to go by the tradition of the East, where you have to wear that, you have to get the meaning. What is the meaning of that veil?
Mm.
That veil was speaking of virginity.
Mm.
That no man has touched me.
Mm.
No man has touched me. And that is not enough. No man has defiled me. I am still a virgin. And there is the token of virginity,
yes, sir,
as part of the ceremony.
Trinity
after there has been the man removes the veil symbolically, meaning he alone is now entitled to disvirgin you.
Mm.
Then you go further that night. Everybody is waiting to confirm. The only way they will confirm is the token of virginity,
amen,
which is the cloth of the first meeting between the man and the woman that night. And of course, when you break the helmet, you disvirgin the woman, there will be blood. You use it to wipe the blood to come and show those waiting outside that truly she is actually a virgin. And if there is no blood, that woman will be stoned. You know it's Israel. It's the law. It will be stoned to death.
Mm.
So that is the Eastern culture.
Mm.
Now, so you don't take a culture, borrow a culture, spiritualize it under grace, and then you don't go all the way. If you insist on the veil before you can wed, then you must also be expecting the token of virginity the Bible speaks of.
Wow.
So the truth is that under grace, that is not needed. The veil, the issue of the veil is not needed because even Christ himself, he came to remove us from idols. We were married to idols before he came and clean us up. Whatever is the past of that woman is gone when she meets with you.
Hallelujah.
So you can now marry her. You know, how many children ever she has before meeting you out of wedlock is a product of the kind of life she lived before, or whatever accident she has met in life, whatever situation she has faced in the past is gone. She meets you now. It is now what happens between you and her.
Amen.
After she has met with you, that she's judged for.
Amen.
But as to come and join your husband and wife, if nothing stops you from marrying her that has given birth before, then nothing stops the exchange of vow.
Amen.
There should be no connection with any veil thing. Just get it clear. All this wedding ceremony is an Eastern culture. is not an injunction of the scripture for believers.
And Pastor, there's one you always speak about against when a woman is pregnant.
Yes.
And you know, she's then coming to the altar with veil and everything.
Yes.
And she's already pregnant for that man.
They're already married before coming.
Okay.
What we're saying, what are you coming? Which vow are you coming to exchange? You already married, even with children. I think with a child, see the evidence. So what are you coming for? What you do is, there is no need to exchange any vows anymore. They have exchanged the vow between themselves already. We only bless the marriage.
Okay.
They are already husband and wife.
Okay.
And don't ridicule it by them wearing white and a veil. It's just a confusion in Christianity.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Sister Felicia from Enugu, we hope your questions are answered. And concerning tokens of virginity, you could see that in Deuteronomy chapter 22.
Please read it, yes.
From verse 13, okay.
Yes.
If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her,
yes,
and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity,
yes,
unto the elders of the city in the gates. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet, these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity.
Yes.
And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall amass him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he has brought up an evil name upon the virgin of Israel.
Exactly.
And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days.
Yes.
Then from verse 20, the guilty wife.
Yes.
But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel,
yes,
then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house.
Hey.
And the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she has wrought fully in Israel to play the oar in her father's house. So shall that put evil away from
so
among you.
So any girl in Israel that is this virgin before marriage is considered, while in her father's house, she was prostituting.
Wow.
And therefore, there must be no prostitution in Israel. And she is stoned to death.
Amen. Okay, thank you so much, sir. Sister Felicia from Enugu.
You know, that law cannot be applied now.
I know, sir.
They will stone them all to death. That is the meaning of grace.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, thank you so much, sir. We have more questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor. This is from Brother Ifeanyi, all the way from Onitsha. Please, help me on this question. Why did God give Cain a mark on his forehead, whereas he is a serpent seed? Then, a follow-up question, why not allow him to be killed? Or why didn't he allow him to die? So why did God give a Cain a mark on his forehead? Where is the serpent seed?
Yes.
On his forehead?
We will see that in chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 4. And from verse 10 concerning Cain. So that we just get the picture from where he's asking that.
Okay, Genesis 4 from verse 10.
Yes.
And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee as strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him.
So what is the mark of Cain that God put? That any man will see him, I will not be able to kill him. He made him to be a giant.
I mean, the brother's question was wrong because he said a mark on his
forehead. No, when they say mark.
No, the brother asked,
yes,
what was the mark that God put on Cain's forehead? Let's have the question again. The Bible did not speak of a forehead.
That's what I'm trying to look at.
It
didn't say it on the forehead.
Yes, sir.
He said he put it on him.
Yes,
he put
question,
a mark,
sir,
upon Cain.
Amen.
That's verse 15.
Lest
any finding him should kill him. Because everybody will say, see the man that put us into trouble here. He's wandering up and down. See the man here. I will now want to, kill him. So the only way, remember at that time, we didn't have the technology or weaponry that we have now. Mm. It has to be physical fight.
Yes, sir.
So for you not to be able to be afraid of him and keep away from him, I believe the only thing is to increase his size. He became a giant. And that is where we now see that in those days there were giants. The Bible says so. That's where they got that giant thing from.
So they were the giants or the children of Cain?
They were the children of Cain. Mm. Gene wise, yes.
Okay. So I think that has answered up your follow up question, yes. Also. Why God did not allow him to be killed? Yes, why didn't God allow them to kill him? Why, sir? That's a good question.
Remember that he has an agenda to fulfill. So he needs him to fulfill the
movie of redemption.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I think our pastor has answered you. But
more importantly, you will see how God extends his mercy.
Mm.
Although God caused him and he knew what he did was wrong, but he asked for mercy. Now you throw me out, people will see me, they will kill me.
Mm.
If you look at the conversation, you know, that he spoke, you know, it was like repentance.
That's true.
He now saw the helplessness of the situation, and God, who is rich in mercy, he will extend that mercy to him. It's okay, it's all right, you know, I can do this for you, but that did not make him a son of God.
Wow.
You know, that you receive God's protection from witches and wizards does not make you a child of God.
Wow.
That you always see fire angels stand in your house does not make you a child of God. The children of God, he gives them his spirit.
Amen.
He gives them understanding.
Amen. Okay, Apostle has answered your questions. God did not allow them to kill him as a display of his mercy. Okay, we have a caller from Osun State, Brother Olaniyi from Osun State. God bless you, sir. You are on.
Hello, sir.
Okay, God bless you, Brother Olaniyi.
Okay. My question is, in the book of Revelation chapter 13.
Okay, Revelation chapter 13. Yes, sir.
Verse 16 and 17.
That's 16 and 17.
So my question is in the book of Revelation chapter 13.
Yes, sir.
Verse 16 and 17.
Okay.
So I'm confused a little bit. I want to know the real meaning of that mark. And then who is that beast?
Okay.
Who is that beast?
The meaning of the mark and who the beast is.
The meaning of the mark and who is the beast.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Just stay tuned. That Pastor Alu will answer your question.
Maybe we read it for the purpose of understanding from verse 11 and up to verse 18. The purpose of understanding.
Revelation chapter 13 from verse 11. Mm-hmm. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the false beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the false beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the number of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
When he speak about he causing all, both small and great, in verse 16, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, what is the purpose of the mark?
Mm.
It's verse 17. So that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name
of the beast,
or the name,
or the number,
the number of his name.
Amen.
And we know now that mark with the way technology is going, because it's an end time event, with the way the technology is going, we are getting to a stage where, except you have some form of computer chips, everything is now being reduced. We are moving from, they call it cashless now, or cash light, or whatever you call it.
Yes, sir.
We are now operating cashless economy worldwide. Mm. People now move with a car that has all the information concerning you. Mm. And instead of carrying cards, and each of those cards are reduced to numbers. Mm. Everybody has an account number, PIN number, BVN number,
yes, sir.
And all the number, everything is reduced to number and number and number. And this mark, therefore, we are looking at what technology, the effect of this technology, how the Antichrist will hijack it later on and use it to fulfill its purpose.
No.
So, the mark, remember, or the number, the purpose, the mark in their right hand or in their forehead.
Points.
Right now, for security reasons, people are having all manner of things now all around them. And then, the time is going to come, certainly we're moving fast into that, where you have to have some chips somewhere in your body, so you won't lose anything. You will lose. You just pass, and you are gone. Right now, we don't even need barcodes. Are there? No? We have barcodes where you just
scan
it, and all the information in it are there. So I believe that is an end time event that will take place.
Okay.
It has not started, but we are building up towards that.
Hmm. Okay. What about the name, the number of his name?
Which is identification.
Okay.
That is for identification. He's not asking for the number, he's asking for the mark.
Okay.
Your question.
So God bless you, sir. Brother Olaniyi from Oshun. Thanks for asking. Shalom, Pastor. My question is, this is from Sister Priska, all the way from Zambia. Is the fivefold ministry only to be found among the bride of Christ and the end time message believers? Or what can we say? Please clarify.
Again, the question again, please.
Is the fivefold ministry only to be found among the bride of Christ and the entire message believers? Or what can we say?
The fivefold ministry is for the body of Christ. The fivefold ministry was established when the Church of Jesus Christ was inaugurated.
Mm.
So when you say it's only for the bride of Christ, when you say the bride of Christ, sometimes we enter message believers. We are looking at the church at the end of time, just before the rapture, which is what we call the bride of Christ. But the truth is, the bride of Christ is, every age has the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
And they are the saints.
Amen.
What is a saint? Who is a saint? Saint is the sanctified man or woman.
Amen.
And we are sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then glorified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When you come to that stage, then you are a saint. Not the saint of the Catholic religion, Roman Catholic
Amen.
Religion.
Amen.
I'm talking of a Christian
saint.
The saint, Christian saint.
Hmm.
Now, so when the church in building, to build that body of Christ, to lead the body of Christ, He set some
apostles,
and we've had the apostles, the Amen. Apostolic ministry.
Hallelujah.
Then we have
prophets,
evangelists,
pastors,
and teachers. And every age had this ordained by God for the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
For the work of the ministry, for Amen. That building, until we all come into the unity of the faith, as Ephesians chapter 4 teaches
Amen.
Us. So when you say, is it only for the bride? Technically, I would say yes, because it is only the believers filled with the Holy Ghost that are called the bride of Christ.
Mm.
Not just the denominational and religious people.
Mm.
Those ones have no place for the fivefold ministry. It has been hijacked. Men have hijacked them, and they have their own way of producing their ministers, of running their churches, you know, and most of them, what do? They most of the churches are family businesses.
Amen. That's true.
You know, if you want to know it, go and see who are those running the church.
Mm.
You know, they register a church, and it is the husband and the wife that are the board of trustees for the church.
Mm.
Just like private companies are registered with a husband and wife.
Mm.
So it's a family business. And some of them, even in the ministry work, all others are employed.
Mm.
Only the man and the wife
mm.
has that. So we will call that the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
That is certainly another religion they are putting, another foundation they are building.
Amen.
Even if they are holding the sermon books of William Graham, it is not the sermon mm. book of William Graham. Or they put their altar and design it like Pastor Moses' altar.
Mm.
It's not the altar that makes you a believer. It is what you practice, you preach,
what
and the life that you live.
Hallelujah.
What you preach, is it lining with the scripture
Amen.
Or not? Because a lot of people left the Bride Assembly Church
mm.
who were here before, and they are sitting among me and daddy churches.
Wow.
We know some of them. Mm. And then many of them are one-man show ministry.
Mm.
Go and employ pastors mm. and things like that.
Mm.
Especially those of them who have prophetic gifts. They are the worst hit by this error. You know, once it possesses them, there's nothing you can do to except God Himself comes down. And now we see it in the denomination, copy from the denomination. That's why the message came to pull us out of such
Babylon.
Practices and such understanding.
Amen.
So the fivefold ministry, yes, it is for the bride.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sister Prisca from Zambia. More questions coming in from our brethren. Okay, Pastor Celestine from Benin.
Okay. Good evening, sir.
God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
I'm calling from Benin City.
God bless you.
Yes, sir. I'm an Nigerian member of Prime Television, and I'm happy for what God is giving me to do, sir.
God bless you, sir. Thank you very much.
You were saying that for deception purpose, somebody can be put away. You're talking about divorce. But in the book of Malachi, the Lord said, I hate divorce. So, sir, please put me through vis-a-vis that future.
Can you ask your question again, sir? We didn't get you clearly.
You were saying that a woman that deceives a man and he gets married to her. Later on, if I have some certain things, she didn't tell the man. But
okay.
Based on that, the man can divorce her,
yes.
The woman.
Okay.
And then in the book of Malachi, the Lord said, I hate divorce.
That's true. Okay. So can Pastor put you through? Okay, God bless you, sir. Thank you very much.
Addicted Pastor Celeste, addicted to the Bride Television. That's very encouraging to us to know that we are being a blessing to you. Now, Pastor Celeste and all other pastors that may be listening to me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, according to the Bible, Matthew 19 and other scriptures, the Bible says that you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication.
Amen.
To marry another.
That's true.
Except it be for fornication. So when you go to Malachi where he said, God, they hated putting away.
Malachi 2:16.
Okay.
For the Lord, the God of Israel,
yes,
saith that he hated putting away.
Now he hated putting away. He did not say you cannot put away because Jesus Christ came and still gave a condition where you can put away.
Amen.
For fornication.
Amen.
So even though God said he hates putting away, it's just like God also said that he is not happy at the death of a sinner.
Mm.
The Bible says so.
That's right.
That God is not happy at the death of a sinner. Now, that does not mean that God is saying that a sinner cannot die.
That's right.
Now, when God says he hated putting away, he's not saying that you should not put away your wife.
Mm.
That is to tell you that don't bring conditions that will bring putting away. Stop bringing situations that will bring Putin away. God is not happy with it. God hates anything that will put Putin away. Cause you to put away your wife or your husband, including fornication. So, God is not happy that through fornication you can put away your wife. God is not happy. We have to break these things down, you know, to understand Bible language. He didn't, he's not saying you should not put away your wife. He said he hates it. But he also hates the death of a sinner. Because he does not want sinners to die. But sinners are dying. He cannot stop it.
Amen.
So also, now, when scripture as Jesus Christ mentioned about fornication.
That's right.
The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to watch over the sheep.
Amen.
A truly called minister of the fivefold order is called like Moses.
Amen.
He is called like the apostles that we see in the Bible.
Amen.
Apostle Paul. These things that we call scripture, they were written down by mere men like us.
Amen.
But who had the authority of the calling upon them to watch over the church? God gives them the wisdom to watch over the church. Therefore, when you give instructions, teachings, counsel, you give what the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of counsel.
Hallelujah.
Gives you wisdom to counsel. There will be situations that will confront you that you won't find it in the Bible.
Wow.
So we have authority, like Apostle Paul will say, now this is not the Lord, but I speaking, yet we say it is scripture.
Hallelujah.
Because God backs it up.
Amen.
Moses gave them a bill of divorcement. Why? Jesus Christ explained, it was to solve a problem. For the hardness of your heart, he did that. But in the beginning, it was not so.
Amen.
But there was a problem at hand.
Hallelujah.
What was the problem? He knows these people's heart. If this man hates this woman, the woman is in trouble. She will never have peace again. The best thing there is separate them so that, you know, there can be peace.
Hallelujah.
But make it legal. Write a bill of divorcement. There will be evidence so that when she goes, she can marry another person because you have put her away.
Amen.
That is why we have Deuteronomy chapter 24.
Amen.
You don't like her, you put her away, and another one sees her and marries her because there is a bill of divorcement. There must be legal decision. So you won't come later and say, why did you carry my wife?
That's right.
Moses gave that to address the situation at that time.
Amen.
Now, there will be other situations like at this stage that we are in. Where wit and test are mixed together in the church. When a true seed and a tear come together to marry, what do you think will be the effect of that relationship? Therefore, by the authority that is bestowed upon me as a shepherd of God's people, God will also give me a measure of authority that will solve such. And I have seen the commonest thing that the devil can do to any man, to any woman, is to enter a marriage wrongly. Enter marriage by deceit. So I have added marriage by deceit. And even the law of the land will back it up. Because if you deceive me to believe what I've added, you know, believe something that enabled me to make a decision based on what you showed me, only to find out that it was a lie. After the marriage, I discover it is a lie. I'll be free. Take for instance, you are impotent.
You didn't confess it.
And you did not tell the woman. And being a Christian, she cannot have sex with you before marriage. And then only to come after marriage and discover that you know you were impotent. You are now going to subject her to whatever it is, the problem that goes with childlessness.
No.
And in Africa, no man, you never hear any man announcing that I'm the one that have the problem. Mm-hmm. Everybody will look at the woman as the one that has the problem.
That's true.
So, if the woman found that out and decides she does not want the marriage, she has not committed sin because
Amen.
You deceived her into it.
Mm.
You can also deceive her that you were a Christian.
Wow.
And then after the marriage, you begin to say you are now going to worship Shango.
Mm.
All of you must go to Guru Maharaj or Lumba or Lumba.
Mm.
In fact, now you are a Muslim. It was just, I don't understand Christianity, but you gave her the impression, you gave him the impression that you were a Christian. And she has decided she will only marry a Christian. And now you deceived her into accepting to marry. That is married by deceit. If she decides to go, she has not committed sin. She entered the marriage by deceit. Therefore, there is a marriage by deceit. But then it will be subject to scrutiny by the elders of the church.
Amen.
It's not just you walking out, it will be looked into.
Amen.
And then advised accordingly.
Amen. Wow.
So there's marriage in deceit.
Okay.
By the authority given to us to watch over the sheep of God at this age.
Wow. More grace, sir. To be a pastor is not easy. Okay, Brother Celestine from Benin. God bless you, sir. We hope your question has been properly answered by the pastor.
I also know that you are supposed to pray before you go in there. But let me quickly tell you, those who have put up that argument, that we are supposed to walk by faith and not by revelation. Because even God say, he who findeth a wife, you are to find a wife, and that and I may not have the ability, the gift,
inquire.
Where I can inquire from the Lord. And then maybe with the kind of prophets that are these days in Christendom, you go here, it says a different thing. You go here, it says a different thing. You go here, it says a different thing. So what will you do?
Mm.
And then, you say, you have entered, Anybody that acts like that, you have a wicked heart.
Mm.
You have no compassion. You are saying that no father will release his daughter to a wicked man.
Amen.
We release the daughter to go out into a marriage that she will not be happy.
Hmm.
And the spirit of a shepherd, the spirit of a father.
Amen.
So I will not watch any of my daughters in the Lord to enter into a relationship, or my sons in the Lord to go and marry a relationship that yokes you into some sufferings all the rest of your life.
Amen.
No.
Wow. It's a hard saying, but it's truth. Thank you, sir. Okay, we have a question from Cameroon, from Magbak, Cameroon. Shalom, sir. I thank God for the privilege he has given me to know you through the Bright TV, located by my wife many years ago. I was thinking that I have arrived and can open a ministry, but little did I know that I have not yet started when I started listening to your teachings. The question I have is, how can I correct my water baptism and receive the right Holy Ghost? Can I be baptized by my spouse? Or anybody who believe baptism in the name of Jesus, I need your help, sir. Brother Valerie Gobing from Magba, Cameroon. God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much,
Brother Valerie,
for your interest in our ministry. And we also thank God that he can use us to bless you and open your eyes of understanding as far as the divine agenda for salvation is concerned, which Amen. Is what ministry is all about. First and foremost, water baptism. Wherever you are around the world, if you call us and indicate you want to be baptized, we will always give you the nearest pastor to you that can baptize you.
Amen.
So you give us a call, give us a text, we'll always direct you to where you can have your water baptism. And from time to time, we visit countries like even Cameroon.
Yes,
we have annual programs to visit there.
Amen.
Hundreds of people are baptized each time
Amen.
We come there. But you don't have to wait till we come. You can always send us a text, and then we will
get back to you.
We'll get back to you. What is the second part of it?
Okay, can his spouse baptize him?
No.
And then you also say, how can he receive the Holy Ghost?
Now, this is how you can receive the Holy Ghost. It's Luke chapter 11. Verse 13.
Okay, from verse 11. Yes. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father,
yes,
will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish,
yeah, from verse 11. Yeah, go ahead.
Will he for a fish give him a serpent?
Uh-huh.
If he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?
Uh-huh.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good
gifts. If you know, being evil, that is, we human beings that we are, we know how to give good gifts to our children when they ask us. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
That is, ask.
Amen.
The same way you pray for anything at all from God, the same way you pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And again, there are programs that are organized by churches,
amen,
by us, and other. You watch us, so we organize Holy Ghost baptism.
Every June.
Every June. And not just that, all our services are Holy Ghost services. Brother who?
The Valerie.
Valerie. I'm expecting your testimony too. As you start on Luke chapter 11, verse 13.
Amen.
And ask, and he will give it to you.
Amen. So he asked a good question.
Yes.
In case there are no men, there's no single man to baptize. For instance, female prison. You know, and they are not allowing men to come and baptize them.
No, they allow. We've gone there, we baptize people there. They allow preachers to go in there.
In a situation where they don't allow, is it possible for a woman to baptize another woman?
No, there will always be a situation.
Okay.
There must be a situation.
So baptism is solely for men?
No, not just for men, but that man himself has to be free.
Okay.
He must have his own water baptism first. Because somebody in prison cannot remove another person from prison.
Amen.
You have to be free to be able to set another person free. It's the law of redemption.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you very much. Brother Valerie from Cameroon, we hope the pastor has answered you very well. Sister Veronica from Delta States, God bless you. You're on air. Can we have your question?
My number one question is, since I've come across of Isaiah 58 concerning fasting, I always have feeling that instead of me to do fasting, I should be able to do what the Lord said from that scripture. So please, I want man of God to explain that about fasting to that place.
Okay.
And then the second question is Ecclesiastes chapter 5.
Okay.
From verse 2 to 3. He said that if you go to the house of God, you should not be rushed in your mouth. So if I go to church and there will be ordering many prayers, pray this, at times I used to tire. I say, no, Bible says you should speak few words. God is in heaven, he will hear you. So all this scripture. And then the third one.
Okay. The third question.
The third one say you should be doing good to one another. Like for me now, I don't have money, but my husband has, people used to come to me that help me, I need help. And the book of Proverbs say that don't have and tell your neighbor that you don't have, come tomorrow. So and at times, if we do the good, they will use that to pay you. So all those three things, I'm confused with. I want man of God to throw a light concerning those scriptures.
Okay. The last question is what?
Okay, doing good, that we should do good to all men.
Yes.
Thank you, Sister Veronica. Our husband has, and at times if he does good, they will use evil to repay him.
Okay, maybe we take the question one after the other. The first one is Isaiah 58.
Yes, concerning fasting.
Now, we have to read it in the context. Can we quickly read
it? Okay, Isaiah 58.
From verse 1.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure, and exert all your labors.
This is the reason.
Behold, ye fast for strife and debate.
Because during your fasting, you are not consecrating yourselves. You are still continuing your evil, and you are fasting. But the purpose of fasting is to take a look at your spiritual life, and get close to God. Then you will now know how wicked you are, and then cause you to repent. Verse 4.
Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the feast of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high.
Because when you fast and do all this wickedness, your voice will not be heard from above. Yes?
Is this such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul?
Is that not the purpose of fasting?
Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Would thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bounds of wickedness?
That is what you're supposed to do. That this is more important than refusing to eat. Go ahead.
To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then verse 8. Then shall the light...
Then go ahead. When you do that,
then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of thy finger.
So all he's saying is, the whole of chapter 58 of Isaiah, all he's saying is that a moment of fasting, period of fasting, is a period where you begin to exercise acts of righteousness. You know, showing love.
Our question is, like showing this love and acts of righteousness, does it take the place of fasting?
No, it is when you are fasting, this goes with it.
Okay.
For the fast, for whatever you are praying for to be accepted.
So doing good does not mean you should not fast.
No, you must fast.
Okay, sir.
You must fast. Okay. Because Jesus taught us to fast.
When ye fast. That's
when you fast.
Amen.
Yes.
And the second question is from Ecclesiastes chapter 5.
Yes.
From she quoted verse 2 and 3, but I think I'll take from verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools.
Yes.
For they consider not that they do evil. Mm-hmm. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words.
Do you also remember that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, That's where you read.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you watch why that statement came up, it's verse 4.
Okay. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast
vowed.
Verse
5 and 6.
Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin.
Again.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands?
So this makes us understand verse 2. Read verse 2 again.
Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God.
That is why he's saying, don't out of excitement, just reach there. Oh Lord, if you do this, I will do this.
Okay.
Be careful, be reverent. When you come before the Lord, be careful how you talk, what you speak. That is all the admonition.
Okay, not that you should not pray much.
No, it's not talking about prayer, but the way, that because if you go to verse 4, verse 5 and verse 6, it makes verse 2 clearer.
It has to be
because
vow.
That is how you came and you said, we make a vow. This year, you know, I promise I will build this, I will do this for the house of the Lord. I will do this, I will do that. You open your mouth without looking at the consequence. If I go for this battle and come back, Jephthah, anything that first come out of my mouth, I will give it to you for a burnt offering. You talk without thinking of what you are saying. You should have said, think before you talk. That's what he's saying.
Hallelujah.
Because anything, what if your only child is the one that come up? You should check it. So don't be rash with your mouth.
Okay. And our final question is about doing good and being repaid with evil.
Now the answer is in Ecclesiastes chapter 11.
Okay.
Chapter 11 is about doing good. Go on.
cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days.
Uh-huh.
Give a portion to seven, and also to eight,
uh-huh.
for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the
now,
earth.
Now, note verse 3.
If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the
yes.
earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be.
Now, the answer to her question, verse 4.
He that observeth the wind shall not sow.
Again.
He that observeth the wind shall not sow.
Uh-huh.
And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap.
Do you understand now?
Amen.
Okay, go on.
As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is a child.
Yes.
Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all.
Therefore,
in the morning sow thy seed,
uh-huh.
and in the evening we told not thy hand.
Uh-huh.
For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike.
Good. The truth about it is, it is about giving. If because you help people, and those you help turn around again, instead of reciprocating your love and your gesture, they hurt you. If you consider such action, you will never help anybody, you will never give to anybody. So forget about it. This one, keep giving. You don't know which of them you will benefit from.
Amen.
Or all of them you benefit from. Some will turn out to be serpents that will bite you later, but some will also, you know, bless you back.
Amen.
But the truth is, life is about giving Amen. And receiving. So don't stop giving.
Amen.
That is what the Bible is admonishing us.
Amen. Okay, we'll take a short break now, and when we come back, we'll be answering more, or Pastor Moses will be answering more of your questions. God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.